folks, welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. It's time for this week's matchups episode for the defense. If you didn't listen to the offensive episode, you can go back, listen to Frazier and me talk about establishing the run, what we really expect out of that, the use of 12 personnel, a number of issues with stopping the Chiefs' pass rush, particularly on the interior, having an answer for Chris Jones. So a variety of things that I think have some interesting little side points to them. But join me, of course, my host regularly on the matchup show is Frazier Tafar. Frazier, how you doing?
Doing good, Ken. Glad to be back for the defensive show and ready to see how this elite defense follows up last year's great performance.
Yeah, it's this has been one of the really interesting stories because I keep getting asked, you know, are they going to be as good as they were last year with all the losses? And the answer to me is, of course, they won't be. But, you know, if you start off the secondary for starters, I think they actually have better personnel in the secondary than they did last year, and not insignificantly so. I mean, Humphrey's back.
Yep.
They have Wiggins here who is right on track to be a high value first round pick, whether that means a regular Pro Bowl or an All Pro player potentially. He has that potential, and he's looked fantastic in the preseason. It's just some very limited action. They have an unbelievable core of safeties. That is included a retooled Ardarius Washington. They have multiple answers in the slot. They of course have Kyle Hamilton. They have a healthy Marcus Williams. They have a healthy Humphrey, which is just critically important. And he's probably been the Ravens' best single player in camp. He's been just hands on the football all of camp, basically, which is a new aspect of his game. But I guess that a lot. And so let's talk a little bit about the keys to this game. Start off with your first one in terms of where do the Ravens need to match up well and win?
Yeah, I think the first matchup is, can the linebackers contain Casey's intermediate passing game? I think they got a new wide receiver and Xavier Worthy. I know they're going to try and take the top off the defense with him. But can they contain Kelce and Rice? I think those two guys are going to be the main targets. Roquan and Trenton Smith, how are they going to gel together for the first time? Is Trenton going to look better than he did in preseason, which we do anticipate? But is he going to be continuing to guess which hole to get into? Is he going to get bit on play action fake more than you would want him? I think these factors can affect us in the intermediate passing game, because Kelce's so good at just finding the dead zone, regardless what the coverage is.
Yeah, Trenton had a huge play against the Falcons, not just huge for that game because it was a preseason game, so it didn't matter. He actually, in fact, had the drive-ending play on the first three drives. But the one that mattered to me wasn't the one that was related to pressure or a tackle running down the quarterback. It's the one that was what related to his drop into coverage and pass defense that he had there. We saw a deep drop from him on that particular play, and that's something he has to bring to this position that Patrick Queen didn't. If he does, by the way, if he's a better coverage player than Patrick Queen was, he's going to be a much better linebacker than Patrick Queen was, because it's
yes.
the other components of it, the pass rush you get from Queen relative to what you get from Simpson, I don't believe it's going to be that much of a difference. And the run defense, certainly also not Queen's specialty. So I think that there is a real opportunity here for Simpson to be the better player, but he's going to have to prove it by being a good dropping linebacker. Comes from that safety background. We like that about him getting drafted. He's in a better position than Queen was, not being forced into a starting job as a rookie. Yep. Had a year on the bench, which I think has probably helped. And the way that, you know, it's been all over the news that he's been kind of attached at the hip to Roquan Smith, I think can only be a good thing with regard to his ability to follow him, read the holes correctly. And Roquan better make a huge difference to this defense and from that preseason in terms of being able to diagnose and get to gaps correctly on the run.
Yes, and not to beat down on Queen even more, but that one game where he was supposed to set up the tackle stunt, I think it may have been the Chargers game, where he had a clear path to the quarterback. Yes. Trenton isn't that guy. If he sees it, I think he's going to get it. And that's what we need in a linebacker, and Queen wasn't that guy. So I'm anticipating Trenton Simpson to see a very big jump from what we saw in the preseason.
You know, that was a good play by Queen, actually, in a sense. It was good that he had become disciplined in terms of being able to set picks for stunts like that. It was just that he couldn't adapt on the fly to that play.
Yes,
there's a pick instead of going after the quarterback. It was a funny moment. What was not a funny moment was Queen's, I believe his first game, the 2020 game, might have been 21, again, it was against the Chiefs early in the season. And the Ravens lost the game.
Yeah,
2020. And the Ravens lost the game, and there were five separate instances during that game, five separate instances where other defenders emoted post-play at Queen. So basically, he was out of position the entire game. Mahomes absolutely destroyed the Ravens' blitz in that game. So whenever they brought five and they brought extra, he knew where the hot read was. I think it was something like 15 for 16. On passing when he was blitzed.
He was on fire.
It was an absurd game. And sometimes there's going to be some of those games where you just can't beat Mahomes under those circumstances. But having Patrick Queen not knowing where he's running around was just a big problem for that Ravens team. So hopefully Simpson will be better at that, have more ability to drop, brings more of those skills from safety and that are portable to understand the play as if he's looking at it from level three instead of looking at it from level two.
Yep. And like you said, with his safety background, I think he's more than equipped to play the position we need him to. And I'm just excited to see how we do. Cause that performance that Kelce had in the AFC Championship game still does not sit well with me. And I'm hoping, obviously, it's going to take him and Hamilton to be a real impact against him, but just, I want to contain him as much as we can this game.
I'll go to the point that I have that's adjacent to yours. They need to limit the damage from Kansas City speed. Mm-hmm. And Kansas City does not come into this game with Marquise Brown, which I think is actually a good situation for the Ravens.
Yes.
They would like to not have multiple speed weapons. Worthy, I think there's a good chance that they put Wiggins on him and have him travel, which might mean that we see Humphrey in the slot a fair amount in this game. But it does kind of make sense that you put your makeup speed guy on Xavier Worthy. I always want to call him James Worthy, but he's Xavier Worthy. the Kansas City has been completely retooled for speed this year, and they need to limit the damage from that. We'll see how this happens. It does mean if they try and limit the damage for speed, some of that you need to do via safety help and bracketing. And that means that Kelce and also Juju Smith-Schuster may play a big role in this game. That he's their third receiver who would replace Marquise Brown in this game. He could line up in a lot of different places because he's a not particularly mobile wide receiver, but he's still a large guy who gives cornerbacks some trouble. Kind of like to see Marlon Humphrey used on him and get some good one-on-one coverage opportunities against Schuster, but we'll see how they line that up. And it's a lot of things. We will see a lot of things about this defense that we haven't seen in this preseason so far, or is completely had the clamps down on any kind of specialized scheme, but they're planning for it. I guarantee you they've been planning for this game for all of the last month.
Yes.
In terms of
no, I think they've been planning it for almost 8 months now. They've been planning for this game. But to your point, Orr is going to be, I'm ready to see his blitz packages, how he's going to bring simulated pressure. Is he going to bring the wink kind of have everyone at the line, have them confused on who's coming kind of thing? But I'm just interested to see how he puts his spin on this Ravens defense. He's been under the organization since 14 as a player, as a coach. So I'm interested to see what he does.
Yeah, he's an impressive guy at the podium. I'll say that. And he does seem to bring a good amount of intellect to the position. I want to see him be adaptable. And we really haven't seen that in the preseason. They don't run anything but a base package. There's not much to adapt with. Okay. The one thing I noticed was that the Falcons, in particular in game two, were running from a very limited playbook. They played boot pass after boot pass, six in the first half alone, which I don't think I've ever seen before in a game, a half of football. And five out of six times, the backside edge defender was failing to diagnose the play and get after the quarterback quickly. Mm. And that's something, you know, they need to be able to react to things like that. It won't be exactly that because I don't think that the Chiefs are going to boot forever in this game. I think that.
Didn't you know it's possible to get THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium 100% federally legal THC directly to you. I'm talking about delicious high potency gummies, top shelf flower, home baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary. You can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. And every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code RAVENS. So head to mood.com/ravens, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code RAVENS when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and a watch or tab. Also, on them. Service plan required for watch or tab. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
It'll be something else that they have to adapt to. And we can't like wait till halftime to adapt. This needs to be an adapt on the fly against a team like the Chiefs, because they'll punish you at a half of football for a lot of points if you have a weakness.
Yes. And I think one way we can stop that weakness, going on to my next point, is our pass rush. And specifically the matchup I'm looking at is Odafe Owe on Sutomaia. He needs to show us why we picked up that fifth-year option and why there's so much faith in him in the Ravens camp. I do have the faith in Odafe that he's going to go out there and show us who he is, but we just need to see it consistently now. Can we see Ojabo on the other side give Taylor Jewan run for his money? Because they're both speed guys. Obviously, Owe a little more faster, a little more twitchier, but Ojabo's right there. If they can be the bookends that we imagined them to be when we drafted Ojabo, I think we're going to get a little flash of what we could see the rest of the year.
All right, Jewan Taylor had a tremendous number of penalties last year. I think it was 18. I'm in the neighborhood. I think he led the entire NFL in penalties this last year. So it'd be nice if he is struggling the same way. You know, the way to make him struggle is to make him feel like he's going to be beat. That's how he's going to have a lot of false starts. It's more valuable to get post-snap penalties. You can't always get what you hope for, but that was it would be nice if he's bad. Kingsley Suamataia is playing his first NFL game. He's a guy who I really liked for the Ravens in the draft, and the Ravens had an enormous head-up decision they made with Kansas City to basically go for Roger Rosengarten over Suamataia. And the Chiefs, talking to the Chiefs guy on Know Your Foe, he said the Chiefs were deathly afraid they'd lose Suamataia and were trying to trade up, but they just couldn't make it work to get ahead of the Ravens. And then it ends up the Ravens effectively did them a favor and drafted Rosengarten. So Suamataia is in there starting at left tackle in his first NFL game. So that for starters, that's very impressive. I mean, he's checked the boxes in camp in the preseason that they think he at least has a chance to be effective. Now the Ravens may have a starting right guard in Daniel Faalele that we would say, well, it's not always true.
Yes.
Sometimes you've got to play the cards you're dealt. But I do think that's a making those two guys, giving them difficulty, whether it's Ojabo, Owe, Van Noy, and creating pressures off those side is going to be important, because the Chiefs in the middle, that's where their strength is. They have Creed Humphrey, they have Joe Tooney, and they have Trey Smith, who are all good pass blockers. They need to figure out how they're going to get. They need to get some push pressure in the middle. They need to, you know, they've got too much talent on the interior defensive line to get nothing against those three guys. But it's also not where I would expect the Ravens to get a lot of their success. I expect their success to come from the edge and also from some slot blitzes. So hopefully we'll see some of that as well.
Yes, that's the highly coveted preseason defensive tactic that Orr has shown so far. I think Dan Noy will definitely be lining up on the right side, or the defense's right, so Sutumaiya up on him, because he's shown that he's a right-handed pass rusher, but also just a welcome to the NFL moment for the rookie. He's going to take advantage of everything he knows as a vet and just putting him on an island. I think we're going to see a lot of chips from Casey on that side, so I think it's going to leave that other tackle one-on-one, Juwan Taylor, and that's not going to bode well from them as well. And I'm just very interested to see how this pass rush does. I think interior, Matt Ibike is going to look great. I think if he can make Humphrey as their center, right? Creed Humphrey,
and he's good.
Yep. I think if he can show who he is against Creed Humphrey, that would bode well for the rest of the season as well.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And he should have some good matchups one-on-one versus the guard as a three tech too. Mm-hmm. So it's not like neither Tooney or Smith can be beat. They both can be beat, but they're both good. And they have very solid interior offensive line blocking on them. That's really, in a lot of ways, what they live and die with. Now, they could try some things and move Matt Ibike to the edge in this game if they really want him to take advantage of either Taylor or Suamataia.
He could. Yeah, he's fast twitch, obviously gets all the ball really well. It's going to be interesting to see him with a space in between him before he makes contact, what his moves are going to look like, if he's going to be under control. I think those things scare me on the outside because I've really never seen it. How many outside pass rushes did he have last year?
He had a handful, and I'd say it's less than 30, but it was not zero. It was right. He was on the edge some, and
I imagine there are mostly tight TE stunts if he maybe was on the outside.
I just don't have it in front of me, so I can't really look at it, but it's worth talking about. It's certainly a something great. But Chris Jones used much more on the outside, for example, than Matt Ibike was. And the Ravens really, because they had such good interior pass rushing last year, you know, one of the nice things is they didn't have to do a lot of kick inside play. So it allows them to stay bigger, still have a good pass rush when they're there. There's one other thing related to the pass rush that I want to see is they're going to rush four and they're going to occasionally rush five. I think they'll be almost budgeted in terms of how they deal with the pass rush. Probably not quite as few extra men as with McDonald. McDonald almost seemed to have a very tight budget on total five-man rushes he would run. And anytime he would bring six or something, it was a very special situation. A lot of games he didn't bring six at all. The total number of six-man rushes he had the entire season was a very low number. So I'm not expecting a lot of that in this game. But what I do want to see that relates to the five-man rush is if they're going to bring Hamilton off the slot, which I think is very powerful when they do it, they need to have a quick answer to rotate a player into position to take away the hot read from Mahomes. Because most of the time, that play is going to come directly into Mahomes' face. So it's from the strong side, usually from the right side, that means. Yep. And the slot blitz will be coming directly at Mahomes. His first option is going to be to throw hot on that side. Mm-hmm. And you got to make sure that Simpson or one of the other safeties, or, you know, perhaps Eddie Jackson, for example, is down to cover whoever that is. And some of the time it's going to be Travis Kelce. So if you sacrifice the coverage on Kelce by bringing Hamilton off the slot, it's risky, but there can be a really big payoff for it. And generally speaking, I talked about this on the show a fair amount, but defense needs to take risks like that to win football games, to get off the field. It's very hard to do in the NFL these days. You need to have big plays to do it, which means you need to take some risk.
And I think we had the leader to do it, and Roquan Smith. We used to see that under Ray Lewis, how, like you said, they're going to take their risks when they see it and not worry about worry about the repercussions, but they're more than likely taking a calculated risk. And under this defense, I think it definitely works out with how we want to play, especially with Orr being a middle linebacker himself. Just the mentality he brings is going to rub off on the defense as a whole. And I think this defense is going to be nasty as a whole. I think they're going to just bring back that throwback Raven. I'm hoping to see better tackling, not headhunting. That's the main thing I want to see from the defense. I know we want to see big hits and all that, but let's wrap up and secure tackles as well.
Mm-hmm. All right. Outstanding stuff. Anything else I want to say about this? I think that's good in terms of what I had. You feel like you got all your points in?
Ready to go for Thursday night.
All right. Me too. Can't wait. We got a lot of stuff going on there. Tell folks where they can talk football with you online.
You guys can reach me at Twitter/X at F_Rave8. That's F_RAVE8.
All right. We got a couple special shows to announce for you. First of all, look back for the offense version of the same matchup show, and you'll find it should be the day before you're listening to this. At least I hope that's the case. And you'll have an opportunity to go back and look at that. One other show coming up, it'll be coming out either on Wednesday or Thursday, is another follow-up with Jeremy Lucien. Now, we've looked at Lucien's career a little bit in terms of his travel onto the Ravens practice squad, his preseason performance last year, some of the difficulties making the roster as a UDFA, some of the really middle-class lifestyle that goes with being a UDFA in the National Football League, how you have to be careful with your money. Mm-hmm. And Jeremy was not on a 90-man roster this year, but he is still very definitely trying to play football and trying to figure out what his next move is. And a lot of this deals with potentially switching leagues and what he might do there. And it's a very interesting conversation. So I'd highly recommend it. It'll be out either Wednesday morning or Thursday morning. So take a look for that. For Frazier Tapar, this is Ken McCusick saying goodbye. We'll talk to you next time on Matchups.